Medrash Tanchuma, at the beginning of this last week's parsha, Parshas Noach, Eino told us Noach, Kach posach Rav Tanchuma bar Abba v'Omar. This is the way that this Tana Rav Tanchuma bar Abba, the way he started off the limud of Parshas Noach. Quoted a posik in Mishlei, Pri Tzadik Eitz Chaim. The peiros of a tzaddik is the Eitz Chaim. Amar Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi, B'shoah she'ha'adam mistalek min ha'olam b'leibonim. When a person leaves this world and he has no children, who made tzar u'baicha? The neshama has tzar and the neshama is baicha. Oim aloi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lama ata baicha? Why are you crying? Is the reason that you're crying because you didn't leave over any children in Olam Hazeh? You have Paris, which is even better than Bonim. Aymer Lefana, Ribayna Shalaylam, Eze Pri Shemarati. What Paris, Ribayna Shalaylam, are you referring to? Aymalay HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaTorah, Shekosev Bo, Pri Tzadik Eitz Chaim. The Pasuk says, the Peiros of a Tzadik is Eitz Chaim. Bonim Eino Yomer. It doesn't say Pri Tzadik refers to his Bonim, Ela Pri Tzadik, the Pri of the Tzadik is Eitz Chaim. And Eitz Chaim refers, the Medrash says, Eilu Maisav HaTov. V'cheinu Oimer, Eile told us Noach. This is how we start off the Parsha. Eile told us Noach. Noach Ish Tzadik Tomim. Medilvisin, which is the Iker told us of Noach. And as the Mefarish brings down, Noach had Bonim. And by the time Noach left this world, he left over thousands upon thousands of descendants, but the Pasuk is telling us, Eile told us, Noach, Noach Ish Tzadik Tomim. If you want to know, his Iker told us, it's not his children, it's not his Einokloch, it's not the thousands upon thousands of descendants that come from Noach, but it's Noach Ish Tzadik Tomim. The Mefarish is the Kasha that Avada Mitzvahs Amaisim Tovim, Mayri Dikazach, but what does that have to do with Toldos? Why does the Medrash refer to him as Toldos? Why is this in place of children? And he explains that the Gemara says, Yadua Mikol Maisa HaMitzvah Nivra Malach Kaidish. Every time a person does a mitzvah, a heilige malach is bashafen geboren. Their malach is the tolda of their tzaddik tomim. And their malach is here on the world and is mashpia, keseder, the maisim tovim, the tzitkis, the Torah, the tzmimus, that the tzaddik throughout his life used to create these malachim. So these malachim are still with us, they're amongst us, and these malachim are still doing their arbit, their work of being mashpia, the hatova that created them, that made them come into existence, and their hashpo is keseda with us. The hashpo, the malach that was created by Shmuel ben Chaim Noach, is with us, is Keseda here, is Keseda being Mashpia, Meikar, Befrat, with his Chaverim, Ben Kaisli HaYeshiva, with all those that learned with him, and all those that were Mushba, pushed by his whole Metzias, by his Asmada, by his Midas HaEmes, by his Midas Tovis, the Malochim that were Mushba from all of his Maisim Tovim and his Torah, is here Ben Kaisli Beis HaMedrash, and it's kaseida be mashpia l'toiv. And that the Medrash says is, Eila told us, noyach ish tzadik tomim, that's here, the netzach netzochim. We have this evening, the kavod d'shloishim, we're going to begin with a siyum on Mishnayos from one of Shmuel's chavruses, Yosef Weinberg. Then afterwards continue with Divrei Hesped and Divrei Chizuk from one of his rabbeim, Rabbi Aaron Tzvi Gross. Continue on with Divrei Hesped and Chizuk from one of his chaverim, Rav Osher Olbam. And then finally from Rav Chaim Trein. I'd like to begin with the Divrei Siyum with Yosef Weinberg.
The last Masechta in Kachim is Masechta's Kinim, deals with different things. If when you make a carbon, if someone mixes carbon with two different people or with other, or they take two more than they have to, whatever. And the end of the last Mishnah, it ends with an Agadah, and that's where we're going to start from. Shimon ben Akasha says, Ziknei Ama Aretz, that elderly, unlearned people, kol zman shmezikin daiton miftarisin aleim, that as time goes on, their minds get more confused. Shenema, as it says in Iyov, miyasar sofi lenoyanim metam zikinim yikach, that as they age, that he removes speech from the capable and the reasoning from the elderly. Meaning that not only do, as they age physically, the mind loses mentally, but also as they age, the things that were common when they were young, meaning with everything except for Torah, those things are no longer with them. So like if they're a scientist, then the theories they had when they were starting off, they're no longer, because as new discoveries are made, all their things become outdated. I will ziknei Torah, but ziknei Torah ain't okay, it's not like that. But rather, as they age, they become more settled. Shinemar, as the another pasuk in Iyov says, that the age is wisdom and the length of days is understanding. Meaning that Torah, as they age physically, they continue to learn as their mind and wisdom continues, making them to protect their to keep their understanding of Torah, and also since they're Ziknei Torah, they're a closer step to Har Sinai, and we need them to teach us to keep, because every time we get further away from Har Sinai, we lose a little bit from Torah. So we need them to teach us to give over what they are, because they're one step closer to Har Sinai. So look, Masech this kinnam hadrachal on seder kachim. Hadron Allah seder mayid seder nashim seder nizikin seder kachim v'hadrachal on. Daiten Allah seder mayid seder nashim seder nizikin seder kachim v'daitachal on. Lenisasha minach seder mayid seder nashim seder nizikin seder kachim v'lenis tisnashim minon. Lei ba'alma hadin v'lei ba'alma adase. Hamdachal Kenu, Mishra Bes Amedrish, Lo Mishav Karanius, Shanumashkim Behemashkim, Anu Mashkim Devit Tara, Behemashkim Dvaram Batilam, Anu Amelum Vehim Amelum, Anu Amelum Kamuskar, Vehim Amelum Vein Makamuskar, Anu Ratum Vehim Ratum, Anu Ratum Chaya Lamabo, Vehim Ratum Lavar Sakas, Shinamar Vato Eliam, Turdim Lavar Sakas, Anshidam Umrema Layoch to Yibayam Vani of Tachbach. Yiratam Mofanacho Adonai Lehinu Kashim Shazati Lasayim Seder Mayit Seder Noshim Seder Nizikin Seder Kachim Kach Dezernu Laskal Starim Usfarim Machirim Lasayimim Lilmoid Lamed Lishma Lasses Lachaimas Kol Divrei Talmud Torah Secha Be'ava Uvizchus Kol Tanim Utalmid Echacham Haneskar Karim Beseder Mayit Beseder Noshim Beseder Nizikin Seder Kachim Tamad Li Lazari Shloi Temo Shatarim Pi Umipi Zari Zara Adoilam Vikai bi besalachtim tinchom aischa shachu tishmar lacha vikitzim him tishkacha ki bi yerbu yemecha v'yosvi lacha sinat chayim arich yomim yomim b'smaila asur chavod adinei aizlam ayitin adinei v'reich asamei b'ashalom.
Very schwer zach for me to be able to be maspid a Talmud. The emphasis is that Shmuel to me was a lot more than a Talmud. He was in my shir, and afterwards he was in yeshiva a few more years. We developed a very close shaykhis. Whenever he had, he heard a shtarka divrei musar, especially if it's a divrei kanoi, something very sharp. He always came over to tell me, that grace is Shmeichel. He was so excited. He wanted to share it with me. And the emes is that when I would prepare a shmuz, and I needed someone to say it over to beforehand to see how the Bachim will take it, Shmuel was the best candidate. By him, Divrei Musar, Divrei Techacha, a Chizuk, the smile that he had when he heard Divrei Musar that he never heard. He always had what to say. He always had a response. That was his life. That was his chiyus. To better himself and to steig by him was his chiyus. The tachlis and the shleishim is to come together and say over milus that the nifta had that we as B'nai Torah could learn from, can use in our future lives. Shmuel was a bacher in yeshiva, but he wasn't a typical bacher. The zachin that Shmuel did, the hanhogis that he had, that wasn't typical. That kamat you don't see by a bacher. The witkufis, when he wasn't able to come to yeshiva, 1, 2, 3 days straight, he wasn't in yeshiva. And then he would come a day. And then he wouldn't be able to come. A lot of weeks were like that. He wasn't able to come every day. But the day that he came, the day that he was in yeshiva, you would think he came in the middle of a sugya. How much could he accomplish already? His mistama feels like he's falling behind. You would think in such a matziv, he would have chalishas hadas. I never saw him have chalishas hadas. The smile that he had was always there. The geschmack that he had was always there. Where was the chedushas hadas? There were tkufas where he was in yeshiva every day, but sometimes the medicine that he was on made him tired. He wasn't able to learn with a fresher cup. You would like to think that he would have chedushas hadas. He can't. He can't learn like everybody else. Never. The shmechu that was there, the geschmack that was there, was ayin b'nayir. He never had chedushas hadas. He never felt bad for himself. His zufriedenkeit. How could it be? Wie kann das sein? The Gemara in the Darim, Adaf Lamed Ches says, Omer Rabbi Yechanan, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashar Shechina El Al Gibor Ve'Oshir Ve'Chochem Ve'Onov. The Rebbein Shalem is only Shere His Shechina on a Gibor and Oshir and a Chochem Ve'Enov Ve'Kula Mi Moshe. And all these miles we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. How do you see Gvur by Moshe Rabbeinu? Dechseh by Yifreis Esa Ha'oyho. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that was supposed to put the oil on the Mishkan. From them, let me know up Gvur of Moshe Rabbeinu. Is the Gemara effect Akasha, who says the oil was, who says the Urias were heavy? Maybe they were small, maybe they were light. Who says they were heavy? As they clad the Gemara back and forth. Effect the Rosh Akasha. State in the Zalba Pasuk Vayosem Es HaKroshim. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that stood up the Kroshim. Kuli Amu Moide, the Kroshim were heavy. So why wouldn't the Gemara bring a raya from the Kroshim? Why bring a raya from the oil? Why not bring a raya from the Kroshim? As they fact the Rosh Eifinart. Fact the Mashah, if I state nish was the Rosh, fact. While to state in the Medrash, Tanchuma, by the Kroshim state, who kam ha-Mishkan? It sounds like in the Pasuk, who kam ha-Mishkan, that the Mishkan, the Kroshim, were put up by themselves. State in the Medrash, why does it say, who kam ha-Mishkan? State in the Medrash, because Moshe Rabbeinu told the Ribbono Shel Olam, I don't know how to get the Kroshim up. So Ribbono Shel Olam told him, Asut biyadecha, v'ru aymed me'elov. Go over to the Kroshim, put your hands on the Kroshim, and they'll stand up by themselves. Oy bazai, it says a lesson from Hukam HaMishkan, as they state in Medrash. In fact, the Mashah, if that's true, what does the Rosh want? The Rosh wants to learn out from the Kroshim, the Gvura, of Moshe Rabbeinu, Mizetnishkin Gvura. The Kroshim weren't put up by Moshe Rabbeinu. The Kroshim were put up al Pines by Ribbono Shel Olam Alein. Moshe only went over and put his hands on the Kroshim. How do you see Gvura? So Donach Astira, in the Medrash Alein, in the Zelda Medrash Tanchum state, that when it came to the Melechas HaMishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu had Chalisha Sadas. Everybody was Mishtatev in the Melechas HaMishkan except for Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu told Ribbono Shel Olam, what about me? I don't have a chelek in the Mishkan. So Ribbono Shel Olam told him, your job is going to be to put up the Mishkan, to stand up the Kroshim, that will be your job. And with that, Ribbono Shel Olam was Mefayis Moshe Rabbeinu. Shtotzach Teshayla, in the Zelba Medrash state, that the Hakamas HaMishkan wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu only put his hands there and Ribbono Shel Olam picked it up. So how was that a pious? How was that a pious for Moshe Rabbeinu? He didn't do anything. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz in Zayn Sefer zogt a yishuv to both of these kashas with the Peledik Avot. We said by the seam, Anu ha-meilim v'heim ha-meilim. Anu ha-meilim v'mekabim schar v'heim ha-meilim v'heinu mekabim schar. Frek there, they also get schar. A goy v'stut ha-arbit gets paid. Maybe the schar we get is different schar than they get. But we both get schar. V'avoshteit, Anu mekabim schar v'heinu einu mekabim schar. Zogt Reb Chaim, the teretz is, the memory is saying, Anu ha-meilim u'mekabim schar. We get schar for the amelus that we do. We get schar for the work that we do. We don't get schar for the outcome. What the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from the Yidun Avodas HaKodesh is the asiya. Do it. Be mishtadel. Be amal. If the result will happen, that's Be'ad HaKodesh Baruch Hu. That's not your job. Your job is amal to be amal. For that we get schar. By a goy in the goyish welt, if you're hired to build a house, you're hired to sell something, and you try and you try, and you don't sell it, there's no schar, you don't get paid, you lose your job. In the goyish welt, in the gashmiyistik welt, the payment is for a taisa, an uftu. Masha'enken, in melachas ha-kodesh, rabbeidas ha-kodesh, the schar is, anu ha-melum u'mekabim schar. The ha-melus we get schar for, by a goy, the ha-melus alein doesn't pay, only the product pays. There's no steer in the Medrash. When the Medrash says that Rav Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, "Asuk biyadecha v'hu aymen me'elav," it doesn't mean make believe that you're picking it up. It means go over to the Mishkan, to the Kerashim, and use all your kaiches to be able to lift it up. If you use all your kaiches to be able to lift it up, I'll give you the siyata d'shmaya, and I'll make a nest that the Mishkan will stand. Avada, there was an asiyah by the Malach HaSan Mishkan. Avada was Moshe Rabbeinu's kaiches that put up the Mishkan. Now the Taitzah, the outcome of the Mishkan actually standing up, that was Alpines. But the only reason why the Rebbeinu Shem gave him and made that nest that the Mishkan should stand up was because he used all the kaiches. And the Mela, that was a chizit from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rebbeinu Shem told him, it's your kaiches that's going to get the Mishkan up. So it's the B'chaim Shmulevitz, Eibazari, the Masho's kash is not shver either. The Masho wants to know, how does the Rosh see from the Krushim that you see Gvura? Zogst B'chaim Shmulevitz Amari Dekavart. Gvura doesn't mean physical kayach. Gvura means to maximize your kayaches. Gvura means to use every ounce of kayach that you have. Thus is Gvura. Zogst there, Aibazoi, from the Krushim you could see the Gvura, the maximized kayaches of Moshe Rabbeinu. It was only because he maximized his kayaches that he was zeicher that the Rebbeinu Shalom put up the Mishkan al Pines. When Shmuel came to Yeshiva, he knew that he missed many days. But his focus wasn't, am I going to have the sugya? Am I not going to have the sugya? Am I behind? Am I not behind? His focus was, today I'm gesund, today I can learn, let me put in the maximum kaychis that I have. And that brought him simcha. There was no reason for him to have chalishas hadas, there was no reason for him to be tzabrachin. If the person is looking at the outcome, and because he's not well, he's not able to learn, he's tired, he's not able to learn, azam menshvei tzabrachin. But by him, that wasn't the ikr. The ikr was that he had the opportunity to be able to do, to be able to learn, to be able to know about Torah. That was the simcha that he had. The simcha that he had was that he was able to be omo. There were many conversations that we had. There was one conversation that we used to schmooze about a lot. And the same smile that he had was still on his face, and I never understood how. Amo, when he had a seizure, he would get hurt. He was out for a few days. He was knocked out. He would come back and tell me over the ganze shtal shel svasa geshet why he wasn't able to come. He had a bang on his head. He would go through the whole history of what happened. And the same smile was on his face. He was telling me over the nakeshmake zachin of what happened. And the same smile. And the embassies that had the same kasha, when Nebuch Shmuel was lying in the ICU, and I went with my shvager to visit in the hospital, to go visit the Sivas Tutzach. We came to Reb Chaim in the ICU, and Reb Chaim was telling us over the ganze shtalshulos of what happened. The doctors don't know. They don't know what's going to be. But the same smile that Shmuel had was on Reb Chaim's face. I asked my shvager afterwards, I said, how is it possible? The ganze shverkeit, he knew Reb Chaim knew good and well that the chance of survival al pi derech hateva was shvach, and the smile was on his face like Alamo. The same smile Shmuel had on his face. He can't decide. There's a pasuk in Tehillim in Kuf Lamed Aleph. It's Dovra Melech zogt, Le'gova libi v'le'romu einayim lo'ishi visid v'demamti nafshi kegomul ale imay. I can't pick up my heart and I can't lift up my eyes if I don't consider myself like a nursing child. As David HaMelech gesagt. Is the Mefarshim HaMasber, what does David HaMelech mean? David HaMelech is telling us, if a person wants to know, how are you zeichet to Simchas HaChayim Keseder? And how are you zeichet to Menuchas HaNefesh Keseder and Alam Atzavim? There's one secret. Consider yourself clapping the Rebbeinu Shem like a nursing child. And if you consider yourself like a nursing child to Rebbeinu Shalom, that's the secret to be able to go Valibi and Rambu Einai, to have the Emes Simchas HaChayim. The Shaila is, what's significant about a nursing child? What's miyuchad about a nursing child that that's the Moshel Dovra HaMelech used? Zogstav Sifsei Chayim Azei. A nursing child is a person in the Bria that can't do anything. There's only one person that can help the nursing child, and that's the mother. And the nursing child knows that the mother will give him whatever he needs. He doesn't have to worry. He doesn't have to come on to himself for anything. The mother will give him everything. V'layayid, he doesn't need help from anybody else. There's one person that will give him whatever he needs. Azad Bria is the happiest person, the most content Bria that there is. Someone that doesn't have to die again and say, what else can I do? Is there something I can do? Garnished. Everything is the mother, and the mother will give you whatever you need. That is the person that has the Spitz Simchas Achaim. Zoxa Sipsei Chaim, Davra Melech was saying, the reason why I'm able to lift up my eyes and to pick up my heart and be tzefriden is because I know I'm a nursing child of Gabi the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. There's nothing I can do in this world that will help me be matzliach. Ich kann mishtatev sein. Aber the hatzlocha ultimately has to come from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam alein. If the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is not going to send me the hatzlocha, I'm not going to have hatzlocha. And he's the only one that can give me the hatzlocha. No one else can give me that hatzlocha. Memeya, Zogs Dabra Melech, there's no mocking for daiga. There's no mocking for worry. There's no mocking for tzedachinkeit. The mocking that you know that anything that you're going to need, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is going to give you. And that's the secret that Dabra Melech is telling Klal Yisrael. If a person realizes that I'll come from Rebbeinu Shel Olam, there's nothing to worry about. He's going to take care. Shmuel told me many times in his condition that the doctors don't know. And his father, Reb Chaim, told me the same thing. He knows just as much as the doctors know, this medicine, that medicine. There's very little they can do to help him. Zoi bazoi. There's no mocking to worry. Everything is what the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wants. He could be lying in the hospital bed. The Zelba Hashkafa, the Zelba Cook. I'll come from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. There's nothing that I can do. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam is going to take care. There's no reason to be tzibrachim. That brings about the ultimate Simchas Achaim. By the Levaya, we said over that Shmuel given a carbon for the ganze yeshiva, for the ganze shtot. Also given sein Meile, that Rebbeinu Shem chose him, leveisnisht. Aber in this pasuk, Rebbe Aaron is moisif. Rebbe Aaron says, there's another nekuda b'negeh to a nursing child. Rebbe Aaron says, there's no greater love in the Bria that a mother, more than the mother's love for a nursing child. The love that a mother has for a nursing child is no greater love. Why? Zokster Baron, because when a mother knows that everything that the child needs, he comes to me, and he's not samech on anybody else, that brings about the tremendous darga of ava that the mother has for the child. It's a very, very good feeling that everything that person needs, he knows he can come to me and I can supply him with. B'meila, Zokster Baron in Deepasuk state, if a person wants to have ava by the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, he wants that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam should have ava for him, the yesod is to miyachol zayin, to hope, to be b'teach, to realize alt kum fenem. If you realize alt kum fenem, that is ma'ar be'ava by the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Efshe, Eibazoi, besides that Shmuel was all b'nechbad by the Olam in Yeshiva, Efshe, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam had the same ava for him, because his chinuch, he was brought up, Zayin gan celebin again, to be b'teach b'Hashem. He knew that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam was the only one that could help him. And Shadasa Gevan, the reason why the Ava that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam had for him, that was the reason why the Rebbeinu Shel Olam chose him as a carbon. The end of the pasuk, it says, Yacha Yisrael al Hashem Yatav Yadoylam. Dabra HaMelech says to Klal Yisrael, Yacha Yisrael al Hashem Yatav Yadoylam. The Mefarshim HaMazbir, Dabra HaMelech is telling us, you want to know the secret to Gob Alibi and to Ramu Einai Yachal Yisrael Al Hashem. Klal Yisrael, you want to be zeichet to Emes Simchas Achayim. You want to be zeichet to have a leaven from Menuchas HaNefesh. The secret is Yachal Yisrael Al Hashem. Shmuel for us was that dogma, was that semel of what it means Yachal Yisrael Al Hashem Yatav Yadoylam. He will be Mitz Hashem Vayter. A kesedit, like a reminder of what brings in chasachayim, what brings tefidenkeit to a bacher, to a yigaman, to any person that's also can avedas Hashem, will have in chasachayim, will have in chasanefesh. There's one yesod, Yachal Yisrael Hashem Yatov Yadoilu. Mr. Hashem, the yeshiva should be keseder, mamshich, to have the dugma of Shmuel in front of them. It should keseder be a reminder for us until we're all able to be zeichet to tchias ha-meisim, to be as God said, may Rabbi Yomein.
In the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Pechesim and Beis, the Gemara says, Ezahu ben Olam Haba. Who is worthy of being a ben Olam Haba? So the Gemara, Anvason, Ushval Beirach, Shayif Ayil, Shayif Nafik, Garz Beiraisa Tadira, Ve'enei Machzik Tevel Atmai. Somebody who is humble, acts modestly, he enters bowed and leaves bowed, learns Torah constantly, and doesn't take any credit for himself. When I think about our dear Chaver Shmuel Olav HaShalom, the words of this Gemara help to describe him and define him as someone who lived in Olam Hazeh as a Ben Olam Haba. The Ben Yayada explains the term Shayif Ayil v'Shayif Nafik to mean a person who's focused on his obligations, looking downward towards his goals, not looking at others to arouse jealousy of their situation, not making a big deal, just doing what has to be done. We knew Shmuel as a chaver who learned with all of his kaiches, with the shakal and the bren. Even when it was difficult for him, and it meant schlepping by bus and arriving at yeshiva drained of his kaiches, he didn't come in and show any feelings of kinna and question why everyone else seemed to have things so much smoother and easier for them. He was completely focused on his mission. He sat down and got right into the learning. He was a rangatan with all of his kaiches. Learning gave him such a chiyus, you could see the Simchas HaTorah shining from his face, making it impossible to tell that he was so physically worn out. He would often come over to other bachrim to talk in learning, to share his pshat, or to clarify something. It was obvious how totally orangutan in the limud he was, and how much cheshek he had for learning. Shmuel would be medayek carefully into the words of the Rishayim, and if a pshat didn't fit the words exactly, he wouldn't accept it. Even when the Ha'ara seemed somewhat trivial, Shmuel would not give up until he was as clear as possible. Although he was a bit older than us Bachrim now in Yeshiva, he thought nothing of relating to us as Chaverim. There was no shtalts by him. Anvison Ushval Beirach. He was focused on his goal. His honor and pride did not exist. Occasionally, due to his health issues, he would miss a few days of Yeshiva. When he returned, he would make it his business to make up everything he had missed. Even if it would be close to the end of a sugya, he would not be mevater and just wait to begin the next sugya. He needed to get into the learning immediately and pick up exactly where he left off. Often, due to his medications, Shmuel would doze off during shir. Yet he never got discouraged. He would ask over after shir to make up what he missed. The next day, he came back into shir with the same frishkeit and cheshek, hoping to keep focused for the entire shir. This would go on day after day, with Shmuel never getting discouraged or giving up. His cheshek for Torah pushed him to start again anew, always focusing on his obligations as a ben Torah. During this last Elzman, he was successful in staying alert for the whole shir for a number of days in a row. He was very involved and asking questions in the middle. With great simcha, he told the chaver afterwards how happy he was to be able to finally fully participate so well. It meant so much to him. This truly was his greatest joy. He was a garis by Raisa Tadir. We all remember well his tremendous simcha when he finished Masechtas Kedushin last year after spending so much time during Bein Hasdarim. He put in tremendous kaiches and time to achieve this goal. His excitement was so great that it served as a great encouragement to other Bachrim to be Messiah as well. We were always amazed how he would say over Divrei Torah from guest speakers and taped shiurim that he listened to, often quoting the entire speech. It's clear that he remembered and retained it all so clearly because of the tremendous geschmack that he had from hearing it. The ultimate extracurricular attraction for him was the visit of a guest speaker, especially one of the Gedolim. For weeks before, he would tell everyone how excited he was that he'd be able to hear this godly speeches, the Rechizok, the Vrimusr, and to speak with his gadol personally. Shmuel's midas ben adon lechaveroi were exemplary. With his friendly personality, he had a sweet smile for everyone, whether it was a rebbe, a friend, or someone he didn't even know. He forged a strong kesher with everyone he met in a very short time, making everyone feel he was his good friend. He had very deep feelings for others. When someone made a simcha, it was mamish like his own simcha. And when someone had tzar, it was his tzar too, and he would share in the pain. When his chaverim would move on to other yeshivas, he would constantly inquire from their parents about how they're doing, and he would call them on the phone to wish them well. And he would be the first one to go over and greet them when they came home from Bein Hazman. He was extremely careful with his speech, always mindful not to cause pain to someone else. He would think carefully before he spoke, often even consulting with others, to be sure not to hurt anyone's feelings. Shmuel davening was an inspiration to all of us. He would daven b'kol ram and say every word carefully, being ma'ir everyone else to do the same. His baruch hu baruch shemayin amen still ring in our ears. In Tehillim, David HaMelech says, Acha sha'alti mi'eis Hashem, oisa avakesh, shibti b'veis Hashem. Shmuel Olav HaShalom yearned to be able to learn more and more Torah and to fulfill the ratzon Hashem. He was a true mevakesh. He would constantly ask the Rosh Yeshiva and the Rebbein and probably many other Gedolim all sorts of questions in Inyani Hashkafa and Avodas Hashem. And he would be mekabel their answers with the Tmimus, and they would literally become part of him. And he would often share these ideas with us. He was always looking to grow and be a true Avod Hashem. Even though Shmuel acted by Novo Ubatznea Leches, he left a strong and lasting impression on all of us, and we sorely miss him. It has been a big zechus for us to have had such a chaver amongst us, a real Ben Olam Abba who taught us so much by his example. We must continue to emulate his midas, his bikush l'aliyah, and his cheshik for Torah, and to use him as a mechayev to continue steiging. I want to be mesayim with the word from the Tzlach. The Gemara in Pesachim Daf Nun Amud Aleph, Gemara says, Omer of Acha Bar Chanina, Loi ka Olam Hazeh HaOlam Haba. The Olam Haba will not be like Olam Hazeh. HaOlam Hazeh Al Besureis Tayvais Omer Baruch HaTayva Meitiv Al Besureis Rois Omer Dayina Emes. LaOlam Haba Kuloi HaTayva Meitiv. In Olam Hazeh, when we hear good news, we say Baruch HaTayva Meitiv. And when we hear tragic news, Loi Aleinu, we say Baruch Dayina Emes. But in Olam Haba, we will say only Baruch HaTayva Meitiv. So L'chayr, this Gemara is very shver, because in Olam Haba, there are only Besuris Tavis. Mashenken in Olam Hazeh, there are both Besuris Tavis and Besuris Reis. And if we would only hear Besuris Tavis, we would also always say Baruch HaTayva Meitiv, just like in Olam Haba. The Gemara should have said that the difference between the two worlds is that in Olam Hazeh, there are both Shmuis Tavis Virais, while in Olam Haba, there will be only Shmuis Tavis. So the Tzlach of Menorah quotes an answer in the name of Rav Ephraim the Magid of Brod, that since everything that happens in this world is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is all for our benefit, and therefore is always good. Although sometimes things that occur seem to be difficult, these two are really in our best interest, often in ways that are beyond our comprehension. This is why when harsh gezeiros come upon us, we affirm that although we are suffering, but we trust that this was brought out by the Dayan HaEmes, who knows what is truly best for us. With our limited vision, we can only see the pain, the hardship, and the suffering, and can only express our confidence that behind the pain lies kindness, goodness, and benefit. But in Olam Haba, behind the scenes will be revealed. Our vision will no longer be limited, and we will then clearly see and comprehend how everything which seemed so harsh and difficult was really only good. We won't see it anymore as a Shmura Ra, which though bad has its benefits for us. But rather, we will be able to see with clarity that it was never even Ra, it was truly and intrinsically Taif. We will then say Baruch HaTayv HaMeitiv for these very hardships for which we originally said Dayina Emes. May we all be zeicha b'meheira to the ultimate nechama from all of our tzaris with the binyan tzion v'Yerushalayim, and we will all be able to proclaim Baruch HaTayv v'Ameitiv.
Yeshiva for organizing this Siyam Shleishim, for organizing Bachem Learn Mishnayis. Mishnayis, Chazal say, is the Oysa Yais Neshama. It's very significant that we had a Siyam Mishnayis, Lili Nishmas, Shmuel of Hashem. When I returned to Yeshiva to start teaching, I was up to the first Mishnah in Masechta Yoma. And I started teaching, I don't need to prepare, I've been teaching for many years. And I started teaching Shivas Yom Kaidim Yom Kippurim, Mafrishin Kain Gadol Mi Beisai. Shmuel was Nifta Shivas Yom Kaidim Yom Kippurim. Doesn't say why they separate him from his family for 7 days. It's Midirais, it's a drasha from Sukkim. And we don't know why Shmuel was taken away. Agzeres HaKosev. And some of us might be still struggling, trying to get our brains around this. Young gangster bacher, doesn't have any life-threatening illness. One day he's here, one day he's gone. And I was thinking perhaps his life can serve as a moshul to help us. As you heard, when he was in yeshiva, anybody who didn't know his situation would have had a lot of kashas. Sometimes he's in yeshiva, sometimes he's not. He comes late, he sleeps during shir, what kind of chutzpah is that? Night seder, he's not here, he learns with his father. Yeshiva goes on a Shabbaton, no, he doesn't go along. So modna maisa, a bunch of different kashas. Some people, well-meaning of course, they even asked him, what's the pshat? They asked me, why doesn't he go out of town? He was a couple of years older than the oldest Shia. All of a sudden, achar ha-maisa, we found out what his condition was, and all the kashas disappeared. Everything, oh, of course, now everything fits in. And that's how it's going to be in Mitzvah. We don't understand everything. We can't understand exactly. We can put forth possible theories, but we don't know for sure. But we're going to understand immediately, and all the kashas are going to disappear. And just as there were some who, even though they were close to me, they didn't ask me kashas, they figured he has a cheshbon. Stomi has a reason, so too we don't ask kashas. We know the Rabbeinu Shel Olam has a cheshbon. We know he has a reason. When we see him, it's Hashem, we're not only going to accept it, but we're going to be happy. We're going to thank the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Thank you so much for doing this. Now, even though we really can't know why this happened, but we can, and I believe we should ask, what does the Rabbeinu Shel Olam want from us? What does he want us to do now? What does he want us to do differently? This shook up everyone, not only, of course, his family and his close friends. It shook up the whole community. And people were telling me, many people tell him, they never cried so much by Levaya. Everybody was just shooken up. Some of us are still shooken up. Are we supposed to just let it fade away and just go on with our lives as was before? Can anyone really believe that that's what the Rabbeinu Shel Olam wants? Of course not. So what does the Rabbeinu Shel Olam want from us? What does he want us to do? I'm not a Navi, so I'm not going to tell you the answer. But as I thought about it, I believe we do have somewhat of a clue as to what the Rabbanan Shalom wants. You see, everything that happens, every aspect of everything that happens, is all from the Rabbanan Shalom. Lamashal, families outside in the backyard, they're having a barbecue. And there's a pitcher of lemonade on the table. Bird flies by, knocks over the pitcher. The pitcher smashes, lemonade's all over the place. It's a mess. We know it was Hashkacha Pratis that the pitcher was smashed. But it wasn't only Hashkacha Pratis that the pitcher was smashed. It was Hashkacha Pratis that those three people should get wet. It was Hashkacha Pratis that someone's going to have to sweep up the pieces. It was Hashkacha Pratis that now someone's going to have to go make more lemonade. Everything was, the Rabbanu Shalom had everything in the Cheshbon. We, I think, had a number of strong machshavas because of this maisa, because of Shmuel's patira. We can be pretty confident that the Rabbanu Shalom wants us to focus on these machshavas. And we can be pretty confident that by focusing and not just forgetting about these machshavas that we all had, probably, then maybe that's at least part of the reason and part of what the Rabbanu Shalom wants us to do. I'll mention three thoughts that I think many people had. One reaction people had is total shock, total disbelief. How could it be? Young man, didn't have any life-threatening illnesses, just not be here. I just heard a story. Rabbi Ephraim Waxman told a story about Rabbi Yehuda Forst, Zichrono Livracha, that he was talking to a survivor who survived B'derech Nes. He was there when they were all lined up to be shot, and they were all shot. And he fell down. I don't know if he was injured or not, but he fell down, and somehow he managed to survive. So Rabbi Yehuda went over to him and said, "What were you thinking at that time? What was going through your mind when they were gunning everybody down?" So the person said, "I don't know. I just had a feeling I would make it out alive." So Rabbi Yehuda said, "How much experience do you have dying that you really are able to consider death as a realistic example?" None of us have ever died before. We don't really consider death to be something that really might happen. In fact, I saw the Altif and Kelm brings down from the Zayar that people really deep down, they really think they're going to live forever. I think that Shmuel's Patira woke a lot of us up. And we realize that it's not forever. And it's important to know that. Now, if you have a goyish cook, so we're not going to be here, so eat, drink, and be merry, and tomorrow maybe we won't be here. But of course, a Torah cook is not like that. And I think that Shmuel himself will help us have that Torah cook. There's a Gemara in Brachas Yud Chesem and Beis. It says that Ze'iri had a sum of money, and he wanted to go to yeshiva to learn, and he didn't know where to put the money. So he gave it to his landlady to watch for him. He comes back from yeshiva, there's only one problem. She was nifter, she's not here anymore. And he has no idea where the money is. So he wants his money. So the Gemara says, he went to the Beis HaKvaros, to her kever, and he asked her where the money is. And she told him exactly where it is, but she told him something else. She said, "Please do me a favor. Go to my mother and tell her to send a comb and makeup with Mrs. Plinus, who's going to be dying. She's going to be coming here tomorrow. So please send a comb and makeup for me." What is that comment supposed to mean? So I once heard a pshat. We all know this schar and einish, but it's not only schar and einish like a prize and a punishment. It's whatever we make ourselves, that's the mahus of who we're going to be. Li ol me'e lomim u'neitzach netzochim. Whatever a person's into in this world, that's what he's going to be into in the next world. This lady, obviously, her chiyus was the comb and the makeup. Even when she's no'ilam emes, zibeinknach, the comb and the makeup. Please, bring me a comb and the makeup. Please. Could you imagine? Somebody whose whole life surrounds around comb and makeup, doesn't have the comb and makeup. Imagine if she was alive. She would go crazy. In Ilama MS, the only problem is she's never going to get the comb and makeup. So when Netzach Netzochim, she's going to be standing there with the Agnes Nefesh, give me the comb and makeup! Go out of my mind! When Netzach Netzochim. The one Nechama that we had, like I said, Balavaya, that Shmuel. We know one thing. The little we know about Olam Haba, we know he's happy there. He's enjoying it tremendously. Because we know that's what he was into. He was into learning Torah. He was into spending time with Tzaddikim. He was into his Sayyaris getting close to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. He was into singing Shiris v'Shishpachas to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Shemayim Olam Haba, that's the best place for him. He's definitely totally happy where he is now. And everybody was makir that. He was an ish ruchni. He was a person who thrived on ruchnius. Olam haba is his place. That's where he feels at home. That wakes us up. That's what the Rabbanu Shel Olam perhaps wanted. Focus on this. Are we ready? What are we into? What is a person into? Is he ready to go to Olam Haba and to only enjoy what you can enjoy in Olam Haba? What is he into? Is he into good food? Is he into politics? Money? Cars? I was once walking by my corner. There's a body shop there. And they have a bunch of very expensive sports cars parked there. You know, Bentley, Mercedes, Ferrari, all kinds of things. So I noticed, Bailey, by the corner of my eye, I noticed that doesn't mean too much to me. I was once walking with a teenager from out of town, and he walks by, and he turns around to me, and his eyes are light, and he says, Rabbi, did that do to you what it did to me? And I said, what? I had no idea what he was talking about. He says, there, what? I said, what? There's cars. What's the problem? He got a high out of seeing those cars, just seeing them. Can you imagine? Being in law, that was his heart. When you come up to Shemayim, you're not going to have that high. Shmuel got a high out of a good shtickle musr, a good vart, a good niggin. He's going to have that high in Olam Haba. Are we ready? Are we into whatever it is? If it's emails, you're going to be smashing. The guy checking his emails every morning, right? And then one morning, it's not working. It's going out of his mind. Doesn't work. What's an email? What's going to be when I'm email? Le'netzach netzachim. It's going to be frustrating. Le'netzach netzachim. Where's my email? We have to really be into what we should be into, what Shmuel was into. And then we can know, okay, we're not going to live forever, but it's a good place. And if we're worried, but I don't know if I have that same geshmak, you have to just let the geshmak come in. The pasuk says, "Toyrish Hashem tamima meshivas nofesh, v'kudei Hashem yisharim mesam chelei." It's guaranteed. The mitzvahs are going to be mesamech lei. You can get a high out of mitzvahs. You can get a high for sure. You have to look for it. You have to allow it to come in. You have to not be fulfilled by the Eitzah Hara. You have to let it in. But if we give it a chance, we're going to have that geshmak, and we're going to say, whenever my time comes, shouldn't be on Mayav Esim Shana, but I'll be ready. Doesn't mean, Chas V'Shalom, I'm not saying a person only learned Torah, a person has other things he has to do. But like David HaMelech said, Achash Sha'altem Yesh Hashem, Oy Savakas. What do you mean, Achash Sha'altem Yesh Hashem, I only ask one thing? What do you mean? We ask for other things too. We look in Shemoneh Esrei. We ask for Das. We ask for Refuah. We ask for Panasa. We ask for a lot of things. What do you mean, Achash Sha'altem Yesh Hashem? And what's the Oy Savakas, double Roshim? I ask for a lot of things from the Ribbono Shel Olam. But there's only one thing that I ask from the Ribbono Shel Olam that Oisa Avakesh, that's what I really want. What do we really want? The other things we want only in order to be able to be close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But what I really want is Shifti Beveis Hashem, Lachsois Benoyam Hashem. I want to be close to the Ribbono. That's what I really want. That's what we really want. That's what we have to work on. Another machshava that I think some people had, this is more to the people that had a direct personal shaychus with Shmuel. It's a natural feeling that a person has when a person is nifter, is he feels regret. Feels, I don't want to use the dirty word, guilt, chas v'shalom, not allowed to say that today, but guilt. What does it mean, guilt? Not chas v'shalom for what happened. It's between him and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Not even for the averis that we did with him. We did two on Yom Kippur, Mestama. But we feel so bad that we didn't maybe act properly to him. We didn't spend enough time for him. We weren't patient with him. We didn't take advantage of him. We're sitting there, how could I? And it's overpowering, those feelings of regret. There's nothing wrong with regret. It's okay. As long as it doesn't get to atzvus, Stolen Rebbe Zechtzelik Vrocha said, the difference between guilt and atzvus is when you feel like doing nothing. Guilt is when you feel like, oh, I better do better. That's gudzach. So if a person feels, why wasn't I nicer, why wasn't I this, why wasn't I that, he should use, there are other people still around in the veld, Baruch Hashem. He could use that. Rebbe Hashem maybe wants us to focus on that. He could use that to improve his ben adam l'chaver. And finally, the third thing that the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm sure, knew we would think about, perhaps most significant, is to focus on his milas. And that's what we've been doing by the Levaya, by the Shiva. And tonight, we're focusing on his milas. And I'm sure that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to do. And he wants us not to remain the same, but to rather focus on his milas and to use his milas as a springboard for our growth in Ruchnias. Now, after Shiva was over, you got to get back to real life. And it could be very depressing because you're stuck. You have two choices. You could either stay just thinking about him a whole day and not being able to do anything at all, or you could forget about it and go on with your life. Neither choice seems like a good choice. But I realize there's a third choice. And the third choice is go on with Shmuel, with his memories, with him in your daily life as an inspiration. And that's what I think we should all try to do. And that's why we should focus on his milas. There's a tendency sometimes for somebody who's outstanding in an area for people to use superlative expressions to describe his greatness. He's mamish a tzaddik. He's a malach. He's mamish a malach. Or even in one area, he's a rizik abal chesed. He's the world's masmid. I'm sure that people mean well. It's good to speak good about people. But sometimes I get the feeling that it's really the Yetzirah that's encouraging us to use those titles. If we say he's a yeshiva bocher and he has milas too, then we feel, well, why don't I do that? If we say, he's a malach, he's a tzaddik, I'm not, it's not machai of me, I'm fine. So, to use superlatives with Shmuel, he was a malach, a tzaddik, I don't think that's a good idea. He wasn't a malach, He had struggles just like everybody else, but he had gewaldige malus. But don't let the Yetzer fool you into saying, "Ah, he was a malach." We have to be able to relate. We have to be able to learn from him. One of the letters, I got a couple of letters from some people during the Shiva, right after the Shiva. I got a letter from a Talmud of mine, an old Talmud of mine, who was a few years younger than Shmuel. Didn't really know Shmuel, didn't go to the same yeshiva as Shmuel. But one time he happened to be davening in the Kollel on Shabbos and wrote me a long letter about a few things, but I'll just read you one little part. He wrote, "I noticed a young man davening with a brand that has been unparalleled in all my life and from the greatest I've ever seen. I looked closer and saw that it was your son Shmuel. I was nishtoimem ad miyoid and said to myself, such a brand for a simple ben yeshiva? I'm also a simple ben yeshiva. I should also try davening with such a brand. I must say, the more I tried, the more I respected Shmuel. Because as everyone knows, davening with such a brand is not easy. But for Shmuel, it was real. You could see it on his face." And I think that's what we have to do, is we have to say Shmuel was a simple ben yeshiva. He had gevalda gemalas, and we could try to emulate them. We could try to be inspired by them. But not to call him a malach, because then it becomes totally different. Nothing to do with me. So he had a lot of milas. I'm only going to focus on three tonight, tefasta merubaloi tefasta. And one of them was mentioned by the Levi, was mentioned tonight more than once. But I just want to mention one horror about it, and that is the idea that he just never got discouraged and never gave up. And you should know, I have to admit that I knew he had that mila, but I took it for granted. And then, the more I thought about it, the more I was nishtaimim. It just didn't make sense. I mean, to be able to go through what he went through for years and years of ups and downs, and the medicine worked, didn't work, it worked, it didn't work, to miss yeshiva, to go back, to miss yeshiva, to be here alone for a couple of years without anybody his age, all his friends were out of town, always besimcha kamat, it was just unbelievable. His Rebbe said a pshat, Eilu Veilu. You didn't even see the struggle. It wasn't that, like, he got depressed, he said, "Okay, I'm going to pull myself back out of it." You know, like we all do. You know? You didn't even see that struggle. And my wife mentioned something, and the more I thought about it, the more I realized that could very well be that there's a lot of emes to it. We see in Sefer Yeshua, in the first Pasuk, the Pasuk says that the Rebbe Yisrael spoke to Yeshua achrei Moshe, after Moshe Rabbeinu was nifter. And it describes Moshe, uses two words to describe Moshe. We asked, how would you think you describe Moshe? Today I was teaching that pasuk in class. So I asked him, how would you think you describe Moshe? Moshe Rabbeinu was tzaddik, the greatest Navi that ever lived. No, Chayr, Rambam says, the greatest Navi that ever was. Right? The Mekabel HaTorah, Baal Mefes, did Mefesim, took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, he was an Anav Mikol Adam, all kinds of titles. The pasuk doesn't say that. The pasuk says Moshe Eved Hashem. Eved Hashem. Eved Hashem. We're all supposed to be Avdei Hashem. What's the yichus of Moshe that he was Eved Hashem? But of course it means Moshe was talking Eved Hashem. So what's an Eved Hashem? An Eved Hashem, what's an Eved? An Eved is somebody who has absolutely no retzaynes from Zechalim. Every single goal, every single desire, every single idea that he has is totally focused on giving an achas ruach to his master. And Moshe Rabbeinu surely wasn't like an Eved who's an Eved, he's an Eved. Moshe Rabbeinu was an Eved who considered the biggest privilege in the universe to be Eved Hashem. So every ounce of energy and thought was given to please the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's an Eved Hashem. That's a gevalda gamayla, to be an Eved Hashem. On a certain level, I think Shmuel had that mila. If you have other tzinus, you have a struggle, you're tired, you want to go to bed. It's hard to learn, you'd rather read, you'd rather shmooze, you'd rather play a game. There's a shmooze tonight, someplace, you have to go, who knows where, why should I go there? I'm busy doing my stuff. You wipe that. I remember he used to wake up in the morning, he had a seizure at night, he woke up in the morning, he had a few hours of sleep. He had a seizure. He looked like, I don't know what. And he says to me, should I go to yeshiva?
And I look at him, I say, you don't look like you can walk to the kitchen. My God, I'm going to yeshiva. He says, I'm ready to go. How's it shayach? Because what's the choice? If a person has only one ratzon in life, the ratzon is to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, the ratzon is ruchnis, the ratzon is to get close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So, if he can't do such a good job, so what? But what's the choice? I recently read an article. There was someone who had great talent, but the economy went down. He couldn't get a good job. He was really working at his area, but very low pay. So someone asked him, would you consider changing careers? And he said, my whole life I've done this. This is the only thing I know. There's nothing else for me to do. This is what I am. This is what I do. So Shmuel, this is what he was. Torah was what he was. So there's nothing else for him to do. He's going to go lie down. But Torah is why he's here. So I'm not learning so well, but so what? What's the choice? There's no other alternative. So, what's the shayla? Of course, we'll go to yeshiva. What's the shayla? I'm up. I'll go to yeshiva. Well, I don't have any other ritzinus.
One of his favorite songs was Ono Hashem Kani Avdecha. He used to sing with such a brand. Sometimes I remember wondering, what was it he having that song? Ono Hashem Kani Avdecha. That was his song. Ani Avdecha. Eved Hashem. That's what Hashem wants us to focus on. Second ma'ala I want to mention is that he didn't always rely, for his avodas Hashem, he didn't rely on just going with the flow, doing what everybody else did. He took his own initiative. If it was going to certain shmuzin, no bachmer going, didn't bother him at all, he was going to go. Going to have a shaykhis with tzaddikim, took his own initiative. Rabbi Dweck Shlita from town, he told me a mice that happened when he came to town. He came from Eretz Yisrael. It was mice of Hashkocha Pratis that he came here. He wasn't really planning on coming to Los Angeles. It was the last thing in his mind. He comes to Los Angeles in the summer, and Shmuel must have been about 10, and Shmuel asked me, can he go? There's a learning program in Torah Or. He asked me if he can go. I didn't encourage him. He wanted to go to the learning program. Fine, go. I don't know what it's about. Go, learning program. Fine. So in the summer, he goes to the learning program. I didn't even notice at the time, but then he called up. He told us, but he reminded me now. He comes in, and Rabbi Dweck is standing there, and he's wondering. He's saying, is there any Yiras Shamayim in this Los Angeles? He didn't know. What's Mati Vaishel Irzu? What's this town all about? And he sees this little yeshiva boy comes in, and he wants to learn, and he goes over to Rabbi and says, can we have a Seder together? Can I learn with you? And he said, he was so nishtoimim, he turned around and he said, there must be Yiras Shamayim in this city. It was like, that was like a turning point for him. He took the initiative. He didn't wait for somebody to say, okay, you're learning with him, you're learning with him. He went over, could we have a Seder together? We have to have our own initiative. We can't wait for the crowd. We have to have our own initiative to take something. Whatever we're into, it doesn't have to be what he was into, it could be other things, but we have to take our own initiative to be into something and to initiate. And Ani Akotin, I would like to suggest that if anybody wants to learn something, Leilu Nishmasai, we learned Mishnayis, Gevald, Gezach, but I think Shmuel would agree, and my Rebbe was Maida, he would agree, that if somebody wants to take something on to learn Leilu Nishmasai, should take on 5 minutes a day, you should learn Musar Svarim. Maisa Tzachiv, the Mishnah Brura says, Mamish and Simon Aleph, of Kotin Yud Beis, Tzorach Odom L'Kvoyoy Eis, L'Lamed Sifrei Musa B'chol Yoyim V'yoy, Imat V'im Harbe. 5 minutes, okay, really 20 minutes, but Tfastam Ribaloy Tfastam. If you learn 5 minutes with the Gishmak, you won't be able to close it after 5 minutes. But 5 minutes a day Musa would be the best thing. Shmuel loved learning Musa. He used to beg me to learn Musa with him, constantly. Begged me to learn. He used to go to Musa Shmuzin. He used to beg me to learn Musa with him. And by learning Musa, a person's going to open up vistas of Ruchnius. He's going to open up and he's going to realize that, yeah, there's something that I also have a Geshmak in. But if you don't learn Musa, how are you going to know what you have a Geshmak in? If you learn Musa every single day, and one of his Chaverim told me that Imamish had a Shtak of Musa Seder in Yeshiva at a time when it wasn't such a popular Limud, but he learned Musa together with him. If we learned 5 minutes of Musa every day, there would be Gevaldigus Chus. And the third Maila that I want to mention is Pirkei Avos, it says, Avi Maktim Sholom L'Chol Adam. if Mekabalos Kolodim B'Seiv upon him Yafis, I was myself so surprised. He had so many friends, young, old, from, not from, the pharmacist came, the drugstore guy came, Ben, came to my house, crying. He's crying. I said, what do you know, Shmuel? What do you know of Shmuel? He says, what do you mean? He used to always come, and if I didn't have it ready on time, he said, it's okay. And he was able to sense that he was something special. He was able to connect with people in an unbelievable way. He was able to connect, and because he really, really cared. A bacha called me up. He said, you know, Shmuel was one of the few people in the world that I knew really cared about me. Really, really cared. And we were makdim shalom uchaladim, something we could all use chizik in, to show that we really, really care. Not just how are you and we're not interested, but he really, really cared. And I just want to read you from a different letter I got from a different bacher who is with Shmuel in elementary school. This is what he wrote. After elementary school, I went out of town for yeshiva and lost touch with almost everyone from school. Even my close friends, quote-unquote, went on and did their own thing. There was one exception. Whenever I was in town, whether I was walking down the street or in the kayel with my father, Shmuel would make a point to come say hello and ask how I was doing. The feeling it gave me was unimaginable. I always would wonder how someone, especially Shmuel, always sitting and learning, would bother coming over to me, just a kid from elementary school. Then I realized Shmuel really cared about me. It didn't matter how I dressed or what I did. His genuine care overlooked everything. Shmuel will always be considered a true friend of mine. And I think for us here tonight, Shmuel will always be considered a true friend. And I think the message of tonight, what we can take away from tonight, is the word always. Always a friend. Even now, his guf is no longer with us, but we can still be his friend. We can go on with life, but with him, gaining inspiration from him, growing from his example every day of our lives. Mitzashem Bekarev, we'll be able to be with him by Tchias HaMesim, and you can be sure he'll come over to us with a big smile and a Shalom Aleichem and how are you? And we'll be able to tell him how we didn't forget him. We should be Zaycha Bevias Koyobim here v'yameinu. Amen.